we both had mentors connected there. So Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, Gail, for leading us in prayer. Aaron, that was a tremendous Torah reading. Thank you for reading that beautiful passage. This week's Torah portion, by the way, is Aaron's bar mitzvah portion. Was it these same verses, Aaron? So Aaron reread his portion from his bar mitzvah, how many ever years ago that was. And so thank you, Aaron, for preparing and doing that again for us. So Gail said something very interesting as she stepped down off the bima. She said, we're going to see how these passages apply to us. And she's actually quoting a verse that I'm going to reference here in just a few minutes about this story, this week's Torah portion being not just Jacob's story, but our story. Shlicha. It's an amazing story. We're going to see how Jacob, though he has already received the calling, the blessings, the identity of being a descendant of Isaac and Abraham, he has an encounter with the Most High. And in fact, it is that encounter with the Most High that carries him on, that overcomes his limitations and his fears. That encounter with God is something that we're going to see that elsewhere in Scripture is actually called being born of God. And we're going to see how that same power and strength is not only talked about in Messiah later in Scripture, but is applied to our very lives, even according to the prophets of the Hebrew Scriptures. It's an amazing, amazing story, and I've been really excited trying to digest this and wanting to share it with you. At the end of last week's Torah portion, we see that Jacob is met by a group of angels as he is returning home. He has been in exile. He is coming back to the land of Israel. And he is met by a camp of angels. And in fact, he calls the name of the place he was at. He literally calls it two camps. But then, just a matter of five verses later, we find out that he hears the news that his brother, Esau, who he's not seen in 20 years, is coming to meet him. But Jacob is scared that this encounter is going to be something less than old brothers connecting. He's afraid it's going to be the original world war because he hears that Esau's coming with, how many people did Aaron read? 400. Is that a brotherly reunion? Or is this a band of brothers coming to attack him and destroy him? So though the angels had come to join Jacob, and he called this place two camps because of his family as well as the group of angels, he decides to divide his belongings and his families into, and it's there in the scripture, into two camps. So though the angels have come to go with him into the land. In his fear, in his trepidation, he divides his belongings into two camps. It's as if he is ignoring that half his camp is actually the angels of God. He divides his family, and now we are the two camps. It's really intriguing to see this play out in chapter 32 of Genesis. But yet, even in his fear, he prays that prayer that Gail recited for us. And in verse 12 of chapter 32, that is in the Hebrew version. If you're reading the English, an English Bible, I think it would be verse 11, I believe. Jacob prays this: "Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, because I'm afraid of him."
He threatened to kill him.
20 years earlier, that's true, he did. He threatened to kill him. But he says, "Lest he come and attack me." All the mothers and all the children. So he prays to God, "Deliver me." In Hebrew, the verb there is the verb to rescue, to save, to deliver. It's going to be used later very often for the Exodus from Egypt, about how God redeemed and delivered his people. In kind of pop spiritual terms, we talk about people talk about being saved. It's the same idea of being rescued and delivered by God. And he prays the word in a form of Hebrew called the Hefel. This is very significant. He's literally saying, "God, cause me to be rescued," or "cause me to be delivered," with the idea that is that it has ongoing implications, not just present moment reality, but implications. Jacob is asking for God's ongoing action in his life. I think this is amazing and daring of Jacob. Though he admits in this prayer that he is afraid, he at the same time recognizes where his resource comes from. He is doubtless. Though he's not fearless, he is doubtless. And we're going to see in this story that God helps him overcome his fear. Jacob uses an imperative to God. "God, come, cause me to be delivered and rescued." And so, jumping down a little further to the passage that Aaron read for his Torah reading a few minutes ago, we see that Jacob wrestles with what it at one point is called an angel, but at other points is actually called God. There's this interesting interplay in numerous stories throughout the book of Genesis where at one hand it says that people encounter an angel, but in other ways it implies that it is God's presence itself. Not that God is an it, but God's presence that is actually being encountered. And Jacob wrestles and fights and strives with this angel. And Jacob says, or the angel says, let me go. And Jacob says, I won't let you go. There's this intensity, this purposefulness in encountering the Lord. He's already prayed dramatically that God would intervene in his situation. And now he's going in this sense of physically fighting an angel, or maybe it's a vision. But in any case, it's an encounter with God. It's like Erez talked about on the video, this idea of making it a reality in our life. Jacob has the calling. Jacob has the identity. He has the blessings coming from Isaac and Abraham. But here he is making it real in his life. He is having an encounter with God. Jacob can't come home from exile unless there is more than just an identity that carries him on. He must have an encounter. He must have that ongoing experience that he prays in the Hefil. God, I need this ongoing action in my life. I need something new. I need something transformational in my life. And so, what is that transformation? The angel gives Jacob a new name. No longer will his name be Yaakov, which at one point in Scripture means crooked. No longer will his name be crooked, but his name will be Yisrael. He has a new identity. Remember, in the Bible, to have a new name is to have a new download, a new character, a new reputation, a new identity. To scrub the bad infection on the hard drive and to have a new download from the Most High. That's what it means to get a new name. It's a picture of transformation. And it says in verse 31, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, literally turning to God, or the face of God. Because, that verse says, for I have seen God panim el panim, face to face, and my life has been preserved. It's the same verb that's used in that prayer that he prays. God, deliver me. God, rescue me. Now he says, I have seen God face to face, and I have been delivered. I have been rescued. Let me bring up, this is a George point. You don't have to agree with me. But a lot of Bible translations I perused this week, both English Bibles, Christian Bibles, as well as Hebrew Bibles, say something like this. I saw God face to face, yet my life was preserved. As if it is an adversative. I saw God face to face, but somehow my life was preserved. But that's not actually what the verse is saying. It's saying actually something very positive. I had an encounter, a transformational encounter with God, and my life has been delivered. And my life has been preserved. There's nothing adversative here. Actually, this having an encounter with God is something that is positively transformational for Jacob. In Hosea chapter, in Hosea chapter 12, we read this. This is an amazing passage. Verses 4 and 5. It says, in the womb, speaking of Jacob, in the womb, Jacob took his brother by the heel. Even before Jacob was born, he was already on the aggressive. He was already on the attack. He was already crooked. He was already reaching out to grab things. It says, in the womb, Jacob grabbed his brother by the heel. And in his strength, he struggled with God, Elohim. And so he struggled with an angel and he prevailed, or in another translation, he overcame. He struggled and he overcame. He wept and he made a prayer. At Bethel, God would find him, and there God would speak with us. Couple amazing things going on here. First, here the text directly says that it was actually God that Jacob wrestled with at this place. It tells us that he wept and he cried. Actually, we don't read that in the Torah portion. It's very interesting to get that angle, that emotion going on in Jacob that we don't read in Genesis. But in Hosea, in the prophets, we read that he fought this struggle with crying and tears. Like I liken it to the way the book of Hebrews tells us that Messiah struggled in his life with tears. It's not an image of Messiah Yeshua that we often see. We don't often think of Messiah crying because of what he is doing in his life. But here in the same way, Jacob, the ancestor of Yeshua, went through an encounter with God with tears and with struggle. And it says that God found Jacob at Bethel, or Bethel, and there he spoke, and the Hebrew says, with us. That's so weird to say God found Jacob at Bethel and spoke with us, that some Bible translations, a couple I have at home, actually change in the translation. It's as if they've decided there has to be a typo here in the Hebrew. And it finishes, God found Jacob and spoke with him. But the Hebrew actually says, God spoke with us. This story then about God encountering Jacob is actually our story. It's not just the story of Jacob. This is about us. This is about us coming to a place that despite the calling, the identity that we have, being descendants of Isaac and Abraham, the blessing that God has promised in our lives that we saw even in our discussion last week. We saw last week how Messiah takes the covenant promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it's Messiah that enlivens those, and we saw that in passages in the Messianic writings. But here we learn that's not enough for Jacob. Jacob can't come back into the land with just his identity, with just his calling. He has to have a transformation in his life. He has to struggle with God. It has to be with crying out to God for God's blessing, for a transformation of a new name, for a transformation made, as Hosea says, with tears and weeping. There has to be a time in Jacob's life when he is transformed. And so it is in our lives. The family blessings that you come from, the identity, Jewish or Gentile, and the destiny of that calling must be augmented by an encounter with God. You can't enter into the land. You can't come home from exile like Jacob did without transformation, without receiving a new name, without receiving a new character and a new identity. As Jacob, you must come to a place where you have an encounter with God in a very real sense. Jacob calls it, it's as if I saw God face to face. Very intimate encounter with God. Something face to face. That's really close. That's really intense. You need an intense, close-up encounter with God so that your life can be rescued, delivered, preserved, as Jacob's was. It's amazing that it says in the text that Jacob, from that day on, Jacob limped. It's the encounter with God not only gives him a new name and a new identity, but it gives him a reminder of that encounter with God. He limps from that day on. What is the sign in your life of the encounter that you've had with God? What do you carry with you in light of what has happened in your journey with the Most High? Do you have a sign that God has transformed you? You need one. For Jacob, it was a limp. You need an evidence in your life that I had that encounter with God, and it represents not something that happened, but something that is ongoing. Remember that hefil verb, cause me to be delivered, has ongoing action and implication. It's your encounter with God, the sign of your encounter with God is not back then. It's something that is right now as well. It must not be something that was just then. It's something that is every day. What everyday sign in your life do you have that points to your encounter with God? My wife and I were talking just last night after a group of people came over for Shabbat dinner. We were talking about the signs of God's work in our lives. And in a very personal way, we were sharing, renewing, reviewing with each other about what God did and how that continues to play out in our lives, things that we can point to because we're on that continuously transformation process. You must have a sign of God's presence and transformation in your life then and now. And there's one more thing that is very interesting. Back up in verse 29, it says, not only that the name of Jacob would be changed to Israel, but also it says that you have overcome. You have overcome in this transformation process. You have prevailed. You've been successful in your encounter with God. What an encouraging word that Jacob received from that angel. That angel telling Jacob, you've been successful in your energy striving with God. No more in the scripture will you read of Jacob being afraid. No more. He was afraid before this encounter. He was afraid of his brother. He was afraid of what might happen when he goes back home. But he's afraid no more. He has prevailed, or in other words, he has overcome. And I stress this because there's something very interesting in the Messianic writings. In the book of John, it says that the one who overcomes, same word, the one who prevails, the one who overcomes, get this, is born of God. Is born of God. This is what some people call, in other circles outside of our congregation, they call being born again. Being born from above is what John calls it. Being born of God, or being born from above. The one who overcomes is one who is born of God. It makes me really wonder, have you ever thought about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob being born again? But that's what happened here, according to the book of John, that's what happened here for Jacob. He was born of God. Because he overcame in that encounter with God. So here's the key for us. In your encounter with God, in your transformation process with the Most High, keep at it. Don't stop. Keep going until you overcome. Until you prevail. Until you continually see that action of God in your life. And so here's like the third or fourth messianic perspective that may be different from the Christian perspective or the Jewish perspective. Here's something on the Jewish perspective. We see now that Jacob was, in Christian language, Jacob was born again. But here's something to, in difference from Christian perspective, being born again is not something that did happen to you. It's something that continues to happen to you. Because the encounter with God is not in the past. Remember, Jacob carried that limp with him. He continued to limp. He continued to have a sign of God's interaction in his life. It's not that you had an encounter with God. You must have God's ongoing interaction in your life. The deliverance of God didn't happen once. It continues to happen. So therefore, you weren't born again. You are continually transformed. So that's why in our congregation, we don't talk about being born again. We talk about transformation on a daily, weekly basis, being shaped and molded into the image of the Most High. I don't care what maybe some prayer you said at one point in the past. What are you doing today? How are you being transformed right now into one who prevails with God? To struggle with God and overcome. Isn't that radical now to think about? God not only allows you to overcome him, he wants you to. God wants you to struggle with him, and he wants you to prevail. Have you ever thought that about God before? We think of God as the mighty one, and indeed he is. But in a way, God wants us to contend with him, and he wants us to do so successfully. This idea of overcoming not only shows up in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, but it shows up in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Messianic writings. In chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, Yohanan writes seven letters to seven different Messianic congregations. They're each different, as most congregations are. They deal with separate issues. They have separate identities. They have separate struggles. They have different strengths. But in each case, he says something, in most cases, he says something positive about them, and he also says something negative about them. But then he says, to the one who overcomes, and he gives a blessing. In all seven cases, he says, to the one who overcomes. In other words, as you overcome as a congregation in your struggle with the transformational process with God, you will earn a certain benefit. In chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 7, it says, to the one who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the garden of God. This translation actually says paradise. But of course, paradise means garden. So the one who overcomes will eat from the tree of life. To the next Messianic congregation that he writes to, he says in verse 11, to the one who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. In verse 17, to the third Messianic congregation, to the one who overcomes, I will give the hidden manna, which requires a whole separate explanation about what the manna is and why some would be hidden, set aside, and put away. To the one who overcomes, they'll eat from the manna that's been stored and hidden away. In the fourth congregation, there, the one who overcomes will receive God's authority. To the fifth congregation, the one who overcomes will be dressed in white. And I will never blot her or his name out of the book of life. These are amazing transformational. When you overcome, your life is transformed. You will never be written out of the book of life. You will be dressed in purity. In other words, your character will be right. Your character will be pure. You won't have to be afraid of the second death. To the sixth congregation, To the one who overcomes, I will make them a pillar in the temple of God. Again, would require an explanation of what it means, what the pillars in the temple represent. But the one who overcomes will be like a pillar in the temple. And never will you leave the temple of God. You'll have that intimacy of worship with the Most High. And then into the seventh messianic congregation, Yochanan wrote, to the one who overcomes will receive the right to sit on God's throne. The right to sit on God's throne. To overcome in our lives, according to not only this week's Torah portion in Genesis, but all the way to Revelation, also in the book of John, where it says, the one who overcomes is born of God. We see that the amazing strength, the amazing beauty that comes by being transformed by God, by being willing to be transformed by God, by being willing to enter into that encounter. So the question for us is not, have you at some point been redeemed by God? But Jacob's prayer indicates it's something that must happen at every moment. It's not, were you born again, which there's nobody in the Bible that ever says, have you been born again? But there is an emphasis on transformational encounter with the Holy One. Being willing to fight that encounter until we overcome. And being willing to, in Jacob's case, walk with the results, the limp. Are you willing to be transformed? Are you willing to push into God's presence? Are you willing to make that a reality in your everyday life? And of course, in light of the passage in the book of Revelation, which is not addressed to individuals, it's actually addressed to a congregation, plural, are we willing to strive with God to the point of overcoming? I pray that we are. Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, our Father in heaven, God, I pray that you would give us the willingness to walk a transformational life like Jacob, who could admit to you, God, I'm scared to death of going back home, of returning to the land and seeing my brother. I don't know what will happen. But God, I cry out that you would rescue and deliver me in this, that you would cause me to be rescued. And the implication of that walking in an ongoing way from this time forward. God, I'm willing to contend and struggle with you, God, until I prevail and I overcome. I'm willing to have that encounter, which is something akin to being born anew. It's going to mean a different life. It's going to change me, but God, I'm willing to have it. And I'm willing to struggle with you, God, until it happens. I'm not going to let go of you, God. I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to let someone or something convince me to turn off the path toward you. And God, I want to carry the consequences of that, even if it's a limp, even if it's something in my life that changes my life from now on. God, I even ask that you would give a sign of your presence, that I will remember that your presence is transforming me day by day. And finally, God, we ask that you would help us in this journey, because struggle with you is not something we do by ourselves. Give us the courage to enter boldly, even as it implies Jacob's boldness to confront you face to face. God, we won't let go. We won't hold back. We won't have doubt. Take our fear and carry us on. Help us to overcome. As a community and a congregation as well, we pray. Amen.